Hello and welcome to the Overly Animated Podcast, where we take animation seriously. We talk everything animation here, including Voltron Legendary Defender, which we'll be getting into right now. I'm Dylan Heisen, and today I'm joined by Haley Neighbors.
Hello.
Andy Potter.
Hello.
And Steve Zeck.
Hi.
We are back to talk more Voltron Legendary Defender Season 6, this time talking Episodes 5 and 6, The Black Paladins and All Good Things. We've covered the first four episodes previously. Check us out at overlyanimated.com. Search for Overly Animated Voltron on iTunes. Subscribe there on YouTube to not miss any of our future Voltron podcasts. We'll be covering the finale tomorrow. Spoilers for up to episode 6. So this episode, but not beyond. We have not seen the finale yet. That's our perspective we're coming in with. We've seen just these, just up to episode 6 so far. And boy, we have a lot to get into here. To open the podcast, you heard Hey Shiro by The Shakeups, a power pop music collective whose new album Legendary Defenders is out now. Check out theshakeups.net. We'll hear more of the song at the end of the podcast. I planned the Hey Shiro song for this one. I anticipated these would be the big Shiro episodes. Yes, got it. So the Shiro theme here. So we have a lot to get into. Big spoilers for The Black Paladins and All Good Things. Make sure you've seen these. A lot just happened. Andy, what are your reactions?
I was right. Real Shiro is in the Black Paladin space. Like, I thought that was really cool that we called back, because that place is really beautiful. The starry place with like the eclipsed sun in the background, like that place is really pretty. I like that. And the fight scene was incredible in episode 5. I really got Star Wars vibes from it, really like Empire Strikes Back type vibes when they were sword fighting on like the balconies and stuff, and then they were hanging from the thing like Luke does at the end of episode 5. That was really cool. Episode 6 was, I think, a little weaker. I thought it had some weird pacing moments where I thought it shouldn't be doing some things. Like, it took some breaks for some jokes with Corran, and I thought that was detrimental to the overall episode. Though when it wasn't doing that, I thought it was really fun. But overall, I really liked this amping up of things. Lotor is a little too... I think he turned a little too hard to the evil, but I still really enjoyed the action we got here. I really enjoyed the Keith and Shiro stuff we got, and I really, really enjoyed I enjoyed seeing Allura mad and not feeling and feeling like it was really earned the way she was mad. I really liked that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. A lot to get into there. Haley, what are your reactions?
Holy moly. Like, these episodes were insane. I think specifically the Black Paladins was like really amazing. The fight scene between Keith and I guess kind of sort of Shiro was so good, and I actually felt like emotions from it, which was surprising to me. I didn't realize I cared so much about their relationship, but it was really so well done, and was just like amazing. And the background music during it, and like the backgrounds and all the animation, it was really technically amazingly well done, and then also really heartfelt and character driven, which was kind of amazing. And we finally got confirmed that Shiro is not Shiro, and he is in the Black Lion's realm. He's in there. So that's pretty cool. And then All Good Things, I think, was fine. It makes sense as an in-between between Black Paladins and whatever the final episode is. It's kind of like a connection between the two. So I think it served its purpose well for that. I agree though, Andy. I think some of the comedic moments were, they kind of like stopped what was happening and then we restarted. But overall, I'm super impressed with these two episodes, specifically the first.
Yeah, nice. Steve, what do you think of the two episodes?
Oh, great. I loved them. They pulled a Mobile Suit Gundam 00 with Shiro, in that he's dead, but not kind of, but really kind of alive. He is like the Black Lion, I guess. So I guess Keith will be able to talk to him from time to time. I wonder if it's just Keith who can talk to Shiro, or will the others be able to? I guess we'll find out. Lotor's turn, I saw it coming. I never trusted him, but it is in character, because I always thought of Lotor like his mother. He is a quintessence junkie. Mm-hmm. So he is when he had the chance to get that, he did that side of him finally came out. He's like a druggie, pretty much. He's a junkie for that good quintessence. And I do want to hopefully talk about Lotar's generals. Aksha, I mean, now she changes her mind and changes sides as many times as a pro wrestler. So,
yeah. Well, and
I do have an interesting hot take or prediction for episode 7. I want to get to later. So,
okay, make sure you get that in later. But yeah, well, yeah. We got Steve Stakes on the generals, our Lotar's general specialist here. They had a big episode changing sides, I think, 3 times in the span of 2 episodes. So that's fun.
Yeah, if I have to make a special quote, I feel bad for the other two, what their names?
Zethrid and Ezra.
And Dectra. I'm like, if I'm them, I'm like, girl, like, Aksha, girl, just make a decision. Keep changing your mind so much. I mean, if I was them, like, they must have so much trust in her, because if I was them, I would just eventually lose my patience.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good lampshading, where there's like, what are we even doing anymore? I really like that, because it's just, who knows what Lotor's doing anymore? They don't. Nobody does.
I don't even think Lotor does. I think he is so manipulative that at a point he's so great at being manipulative that I think he sort of manipulated himself. To the point that
are you saying he played himself? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Got too many balls in the air.
Even Azula, I don't think, was really manipulated herself. She was manipulated by Ozai. So no one manipulated Lotar. He manipulated himself. He's so delusional. I mean, he thinks, like, when he talked to Minerva, he pretty much said, like, I'm nothing like you, when it's obvious you're just like her. You're no better. You can't see it. I kind of feel sorry for him. Sort of. Not too much.
Yeah, mass murder. But the Azula comparison's a good one, because they're both the villains that come in the season 2 equivalent and go kind of nuts at the end. Lotor definitely gets unhinged at the end of this episode, definitely making me go back on what I said last podcast, which is that he's going to live past this. Now, I don't know if that's looking so great, but we'll see next episode.
So season 3, Minerva... main villain for season 3. I mean, season 5, 7.
Yeah. No, well, actual season 3, Netflix season 7. Yeah. The prediction would be Lotor dies on Nerva main villain, but we'll get more into that at the end. So, I think these episodes are remarkable. I think we're underselling 6 a little bit here, which is really excellent. I agree that the Kran and other B plot stuff doesn't really work, but we have the Dark Voltron reveal in addition to the Clone Shiro reveal, the two biggest theories in the Voltron fandom, I think, coming true. I don't even know if Dark Voltron's that big of a theory in the fandom. We've said it several times, and it happened. Big thing, like the design on Dark Voltron's really incredible. The shifting allegiances of the generals and Lotor, and trying to talk to Lotor, I think all that's really good. In the beginning of the episode, Keith talking to Shiro in the Black Lion's consciousness, or the Quintessence field, not clear.
Maybe both?
Keith speculates, are we in the Black Lion's consciousness? Shiro does not answer, so we don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, I still think we're in the Quintessence field, but it might be a cornered off section for the Lions, because, you know, really the Lions are connected inherently to the
they're kind of part
field.
Of it.
Yeah, I think
the way you're saying it, the voice you're using, is like, we know this inherently. We know nothing, Dylan.
This is the explanation episodes, and there's still a lot of questions, but we got Clone Shiro reveal. I think this is satisfying, given, you know, Jeff brought up some qualms with this last podcast. I still do want to know how they have such a perfect clone of Shiro.
And so many of them.
They have so many. Was that when they cut off? That might be why they cut off his arm back in, like, before season 1 started. But right. How did they know he was becoming the Black Paladin? Like, how did they know?
I don't know.
There's some timeline stuff here. We need some more explanation. I'm not sure we're gonna get it. Regardless, the Clone Shiro stuff is satisfying, and Black Paladins episode 5, I think, is really, really remarkable. The A plot with Shiro and Keith fighting is just truly excellent. I think that action sequence is the best of the show, by far.
It's
the best fight scene I've seen in a while. I think it might be the best American animation action sequence since Korra versus Kuvira in the Korra Book 4 finale in the Mecha Head. Like, I think it's the best in absolutely years. Yeah. It's really, truly incredible. And, you know, even though there's, again, some B-plot stuff, like Pidge and the Virus, I don't really care that much about that stuff. I don't think the show has shown it's capable of executing a solid A and B combination. We've had some episodes that have stuck just to an A that have been good throughout, but... both of these episodes have, like, excellent A's and then struggle with B plots. But regardless, I still think these are two of the best episodes of the show, and the season's just been really great.
Yeah, it has been. I think the B plot in episode 5 is a little less weak because they don't fall back on humor. They fall back on like just the paladins trying to work together to fix something, and that doesn't feel as out of place as Coran falling back on humor in episode 6.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one shot of music playing of him like running. You know, like I don't think it's that much humor stuff with Graham, but there's. I mean, that's like his character in general.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, time like hopefully we don't lose both like Shiro and Keith. If that happens, who's gonna pirate the Black Line? Is it gonna be Karan's turn? Go ahead, Karan, step up.
Okay, that would be fun. But no, I mean, I think if Keith was gonna die, it would have been at the end of episode 5, and he did not. Despite I was kind of hoping that would happen, that would have been very dramatic.
No. Keith can't die, Dylan. We just got that flashback of it.
He has a space wolf.
He needs to take care of the Cosmic Wolf, as is named in this episode.
Yes. Cosmic Wolf is such a good name.
Just Cosmic Wolf. No, but I really just want someone to die, to be honest.
You're going to get your wish next episode.
I don't think so, but
I feel it coming.
Someone on the good side? I mean,
Lotor Dang, whatever. No, I mean like a paladin, but I don't think
that's that's never going to happen.
I think the closest Coran or Crowleo will die. Those are the only two that are on my death list.
I mean, Coran would have an impact.
Technically die, so...
Yeah. We learned Shiro is dead. Basically, it's what I've been saying the past several podcasts, that his physical form is gone. He exists in another realm. He says this is in the beginning of episode 6.
He was so blunt. I loved it. He was like, yeah, I died, Keith. He's like, oh, man.
They're in what Keith labels as the Black Lion's consciousness, and it's just an imposter, the Shiro clone. So... it's not that Shiro has any connection to the clone. He's not like going in and out of the clone. It's really just a clone. Shiro is just stuck in whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wonder when after the battle's over, will they have like a memorial for Shiro? Have time to, you know.
Well, I think one of the biggest questions heading into the next episode is, are we going to revive Shiro or are we going to keep him dead? Like, that's one of my top questions.
I mean, also clone Shiro is still alive. He's still there on the Black Lion. Keith.
And so that makes me think maybe we perform a seance and get dead Shiro into clone Shiro. Like, why else keep clone Shiro
get
around?
Get him to possess him.
That next season's silly episode. They're performing a seance trying to talk to Shiro.
I mean, that's kind of like, that's the other option is just Keith individually seances with dead Shiro and in the Black Lion. I really hope Shiro does not come back alive. I think that would remove a lot of the stakes of the season, but I definitely think we could insert him into the clone.
Yeah. Well, I just think though, he has to, like, Keith has to accept his role as the Black Paladin. I think so. I think we need Shiro gone for that because we saw what happened last time. Like, you know, Keith found an excuse just to leave when they needed him. So,
yeah, that's a great point. That's another big reason why you need to keep Shiro away is that for Keith's character, he needs to be piloting the Black Lion like he came back to doing here. But yeah, Shiro clone, he went full bad clone. Keith did try talking to him, but it did not work.
I love that Hagar did like, I'm glad they played on that like classic trope of trying to talk to the clone and trying to convince him he's good. And the clone was using it against Keith on purpose. That was so good.
Yeah, that's what Hagar says. He's a connection to you. Use that against him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this connection between Keith and Shiro that is like really hammered at the end with the flashbacks of young Keith and Shiro seem to have like shepherding him into the unearth the military. And yeah, that's not something that we've seen that much of, I think, on the show proper, maybe season one.
You know what I want though? I want though when Voltona Bridge gets to like the season 3 episode when Clone Shiro, I want him to have like a robot voice and no one can tell he's Clone Shiro.
Yeah, that seems like an obvious thing. Okay, but this like emotional connection between Keith and Shiro, like last podcast I speculated that Allura would be the one to try to talk to Shiro. Like, it wasn't even obvious to me that Keith is the one with the biggest emotional connection to Shiro, so I think it's kind of a failing of the show before, but they definitely like make you feel for them within this episode, like with the flashbacks and with just the veracity, which Keith tries to he's just trying with Shiro so much, and the emotions between the fight they're having. Andy, how much were you feeling the Keith and Shiro connection?
I was very surprised how much I felt it at the end. It really hit me that Shiro was dead when this was happening. It really hit me the level of storytelling we were getting to at the end here, where we were really passing the flame off to Keith in such a really beautiful way that we were getting these flashbacks that really tied into the fight that was going on. We got these messages from Shiro that just... Shiro is just like... It's weird because Shiro talks like he's a philosophy book all the time. Like, that's just his way of speaking. No matter when he's talking, he talks like he's speaking from like a list of quotes. But it really was perfect, this scene of him telling Keith that he could do it, this thing that Keith was remembering, and the way that it ended just on Keith opening his eyes without us really seeing what was going to happen right away. If this was the end of like a weekly series and we had just stopped at the end of episode 5, that would have been incredible to me. I feel like I just sitting with that for a full week of just Keith opening his eyes and nothing else would have just been absolutely stunning to me. I kind of feel like the binge thing here kind of takes away from how powerful that ending is.
Yeah, I do think that's something that Netflix diminishes, is the impact of the end of an episode and just waiting with the end of the episode there. And I do think that was a tremendous end to the episode. I wonder if them just immediately waking up on the Black Lion in the next episode, granted they were talking to each other in the field and then it turns out the Black Lion saved them. I don't know. Does that diminish from this ending shot at all? It seems a little convenient.
I don't think so. I think it only diminishes because it happens immediately in the binge thing. If this was a week later, I think there would be nothing wrong with it. But because we have, like, instantaneous, because we're just skipping to the next episode, it might feel a little weird. But I don't think that we should hold that against it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that it might have more of a separation if they were watched separately. Yeah, Haley, you said you were feeling the connection between Keith and Shiro.
Yeah, I was, surprisingly, because I feel like this season has really made me like Keith a lot more, just because he's had some really interesting side stories. And then I've also cared about what's up with Shiro, because it was the grand mystery. But I never realized how much I cared about their relationship with each other. Probably because, like you were saying, there hasn't been that much, really. Like, there's been things, but it hasn't been as overt as this. And it was really good, I think, because it was matched with this pretty amazing fight sequence, so it actually gave it some, like, it felt like there was more stakes to this than just, oh, we've got to save Shiro. It was like we're saving Keith's basically his father figure in a way, or his mentor or brother kind of person in his life. And also, when you think about it, about how, like, because they were playing on Keith's need to save Shiro, as Hagar was saying to, or clone Shiro, I think it was really impactful as well, because then Keith is trying so hard, but it's just not going to work. Like, nothing's, like, Shiro's gone, which I think made it even more poignant as well, which is pretty good. I was right there with it, and I did not expect that when they first started fighting, but at the end to be, like, actually emotionally invested in it. So I think that was a really positive thing for them to do, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Steve, what were you feeling during the fight?
Oh, I felt definitely, yeah, it's very emotional. I could definitely see when in the flesh, but that definitely Shiro was like an older brother to Keith, so this was very personal to him, and it just felt just so painful to watch, because I may never have had a brother. I can at least I feel his pain. I feel his emotions. And it's just, yeah, I agree with Haley and Andy what they said. And it was a beautiful farewell to Shiro.
Well, hopefully. We'll see, though. We'll see if it's a true farewell.
Well, he can stick around, you know, being part of Black Lion. Like I said, yeah, shows do that. I see other mecha shows do that before, where, like, a dead character is, like, the mecha itself, so...
Yeah, I think that'd be the way to go. Honestly, I'm worried with the keeping the clone around, but yeah, and then this fight sequence, and I have no emotional connection to Keith and Shiro. These are characters I've struggled to connect to. I think the show thinks that there's an innate investment in this type of character that I do not have. Either one of them, and Keith, it took me a while to come around on. And, like, eventually, I think season three, he was stuck out as the best character, but it took a long time for me to get there on either of them. And like this male type of bonding brothers connection, not something I'm gonna, if you listen to the podcast a lot, not something I necessarily talk about, but it did. But to the episode's credit, it really does get there with the two of them. Like, even if I don't have that much of a personal like stake in these two, like, you, it's communicated really well through the episode, and I love the flashbacks at the end, and just the way they were able to imbue emotion into the fight sequence, I think was incredible. And I really want to talk about this fight that we've got. It was very anime inspired, I think. There's several shots that are like kind of pure anime looking, especially with Shiro and like making him look extra evil. But just in general, a lot more like comparing it to Korra, like fight scenes, a lot more anime-y than Korra ever got, I think. The setting is incredible on the Clone Shiro facility, where they have like the layered decks and there's like the bottom thing, and then they have the laser above them that goes off, but then like, it's not even the laser that fires, it's Shiro's arm that fires, like activate his arm, and then he's like blowing up the facility, and then there's also like the clone Shiro's all around them. I think that's just so, it was so incredibly like formed, like the staged on that setting, the fight. There's just a lot of like, Keith cuts his Shiro's arm off, I think, with the Black Bayard, if I'm reading that right. And that's like a great sequence. So even if we do get Shiro into that clone, he's no arm. And then like the facility is falling apart that they're on. I just thought it was so incredible. Like this is like when Voltron gets announced, like, and it's like, okay, Joaquin and other Korra people working on the show, like, this is what I'm hoping for from Voltron, is this level of fight sequence. And it did take us a while, but like, and it's not to say other fight sequences haven't been good, but this like level of superb excellence, like with it's you don't see it anywhere else on American TV, not even I think most of anime as well. And it was just so phenomenal. I'm blown away by it.
It was so dynamic, you know, like with all of the different set pieces and the layers of where they were at in terms of like levels of things. So it, like, there were all these different stages in the fight, which were really amazing. And also Keith has a scar now, which is kind of cool. I'm happy that they actually are like showing wear and tear from this life they're leading. It was pretty phenomenal. And I feel like normally, a lot of times during the fights, there's a moment where I get kind of bored. It's just like, oh, okay, great. It's like dramatic music and the lions are flying around and it's great. But like, there's a lull normally in the middle. This one, I didn't feel that at all. It was so interesting, and like just the design of it all, from the music to the characters to the set, was absolutely amazing, and was really impactful. And then also to be able to balance this big, intense fight sequence with emotional flashbacks was pretty amazing. And to not lose momentum when you do that as well was masterfully done, I think. I'm really, really impressed by this episode and this fight in particular.
I don't think there's been a bad episode so far.
No.
This season's been really good.
Yeah. I mean, even the Dungeons and Dragons episode, I mean, maybe some people might say it's...
What do you mean, Eve? What do you mean, Eve?
That episode's amazing.
It was great.
I said I loved it. I'm just saying.
I actually would call that episode the second, like, quote-unquote worst of the season. But that's just a credit to the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, it's not worse. It's just the third. Yeah.
Yeah, I think episode one's not that great. But even it's fine.
Yeah.
So. Well, it's better than, say, like a typical, like, Avatar or Korra filler.
That's true. Voltron has had its fair of its share of like we talked about this in the D&D podcast. Typically, their filler episodes aren't as good as
they
as
have
the D&D
stepped
ones.
It up a notch.
Yeah,
Voltron show is a good episode of television.
It's not. But let's actually talk about a good episode.
Can I talk about the fight really quick though?
Your takes on the fight.
Yeah, I just want to say really quick that I really love the pacing of it, because I was right there with it as a watcher on where the fight should be, because there's a moment right when Shiro starts shooting lasers out of his arm that and Keith jumps off, and I'm like, they're getting pretty low to the bottom. Like, is there still more facility? Because they must be getting close to the bottom. And at that moment, Keith gets to the very bottom of the facility. Like, it felt like it was matching my expectations for where this facility should be. And that's good for a set piece. Like, I understood how this facility was set up, and it was matching that. And I really liked it. It was just so beautiful. It was so varied in how they were fighting each other on like scaffolding on this like circular platform. And it was just incredible. The only fight that even comes close to this is the crazy hectic one where Lotor fought Zarkon. And that one was just way too hectic compared to this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. I mean, going back to like episode 3 of season 1, that was a great fight. You had the season 2 finale. There's a season 1 finale that was also very good. But this is definitely, I think, surpasses everything we've gotten. Like season 5, like the second to last episode, you'd like giant epic space battle. Yes. Maybe season 4 or something.
The space battles are really like, they have not hit me as well as like just the one-on-one people battles. These ones are just so much more entertaining for me.
Yeah. I think the show succeeds more when it has more personal fight sequences. Yeah. Going back to what Haley said, a lot of the space opera fights get into they don't have this type of momentum. They don't have this type of freneticness and personal stakes, and like it does potentially get boring at some points. But I mean, I don't know if Joaquin Dos Santos was I assume he's heavily involved with this fight scene. He is the one who wrote this episode, by the way. This is the first time either Joaquin or Lauren had a writing credit on all of Ultron. Very notable.
Good job, guys.
It shows.
Yeah, I mean, Joaquin Dos Santos, you know, it's absolutely known for his fight sequences. He storyboarded and stuff the Korra versus Zaheer, open
so
in the Korra book 3 finale, the nonstop so shot. You know, like that, like he's just a hand in a lot of these incredible Korra fight scenes. The end of the book 4 finale, the like Sue, like the spinning the thing around and then wearing the armor. So like that's like, it's like, this is like absolutely his style, and just the, it absolutely harkened back to kind of a Korra and Zaheer type fight. I think when we focus in on characters like this, I think it's been a lot more successful. And Joaquin, Lauren, everyone on the crew was executing on this to this extent, I think was phenomenal. The studio Mir, of course, too. Yeah. This is really blown away by this. And also just I think the Shiro clone stuff in general was well executed here, this episode, next episode. I don't know if there's a lot to it to discuss, like as much as we've speculated on it for so long, it's like, okay, he's a clone. That happened. We'll see what the resolution is. I think like seeing all the Shiros in the facility. I thought that was really visually stunning. I think that it took a lot of like guts to stick to the Shiro that we've been seeing was not real Shiro all along. Like that's a pretty big thing to happen.
I have an idea what we can do with the Shiro clone. Let's redesign him. Let's make him into a Lotar clone and send him back to Hernerva or Hagar as a payback.
Why? Why? What would she do? Would she not want the clone? We'll talk about their relationship to come. But
Send it back.
I could see Pigeonhung trying to redign the Shiro clone into something.
Steve is looking for the gift receipt. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah. Or just send her 100 pieces.
We'll talk about Enerva and Lotor. But first, I want to talk about the other big theory payoff, which is Dark Voltron. It happens. He is a like lizard thing,
scorpion kind of thing. It has scorpionish tail.
It has a tail. It looks awesome. I think.
See, it's way cooler looking than Voltron.
Lotor makes a better ship.
Okay. Yeah, you claimed that Lotor makes better ships before. He now made a Voltron, but why is this one better?
Because it has a tail, obviously.
Yeah, and it only requires 3 ships, but it's still the same size as 5.
And it requires 1 pilot.
Yeah,
he's able to pilot on his own.
So superior.
Yeah.
Like Voltron, you need everyone to be like on the same page to even like form it. Well, like they failed so many times before. He just like hits a button and they're all together. He's done.
Well, that's Loturno. He keeps to himself. He's a one man crew. And I think in a way this is sort of his rebellion because it looked like he didn't care. He couldn't care less about capturing Voltron and getting like the Black Lion. He's totally anti Zarkon in terms of, see, screw them. I don't need that. Dad, I'm not like my father. You see that, Allure? I'm not like my father. I'm not obsessed with Voltron.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So make my own Voltron.
Yeah, because that is what sets him off. Allura says, "You're just like Zarkon," and he's like, "Ah, like no." And so, yeah, I guess Zarkon would try to get the lions for himself, and so he doesn't. He's trying to destroy them. What do we think of how Dark Voltron ended up happening? Evil Voltron. It's like great visually. It's going to be an awesome fight to come in the next episode. They're like staring each other down at the end of this episode after we had a transformation sequence that completely took the momentum out of. The end of this episode.
Yes. But, why do they keep doing this? And then there's horrible. Like 1 second afterwards, and the episode's over. Like,
yeah, they've done this twice now. Why? This season. There's yeah. like,
it's so weird.
And what is Lothar doing when that transmission is going on, man? He has a chance to do something.
This is the eternal question.
Yeah. This is the anime rules. When someone's transforming, you don't interrupt.
Yeah. And not to get into this too much, I will say, out of all, I hate on transformation sequences among many of our shows. This is the worst. This is the worst of them all because it has the most negative effect on.
I actually was feeling it. This is the one time, like, I hate the transformations, and I thought, but the thing is, if we didn't have the two earlier in the season, like, if this was the only one this season, I think I'd be okay with it. Like, I think they should have just...
the music doesn't match up. Like, it just, it, when you see it happening, it's, like, super dramatic and dark, and then, yeah. like, we just learned Shiro's dead, he's scarred, and then it's like, din 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 din. Here we go, guys.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, like, forming Voltron to face off against Dark Voltron does warrant a transformation sequence, so I could see, like, putting it there, but it would need to be, like, different. Like, do a new one.
That would require a new animation for the transformation
sequence. Which defeats the purpose, yes.
Which we're never getting.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, anyway, Dark Voltron. So, okay, I confess, I do not understand how they got a third comet ship.
No, I thought there were only two, Dylan. I completely agree with you.
I swear, what did I miss? Last podcast there were more than two. I had a feeling.
Were we wrong last podcast, or did he get a new one in the meantime? I honestly
don't know. No, I remember I said last podcast, I felt like there were more, and then you guys said no. And I was like, okay, cool. But I swear there were more.
But when did he get them? Did he make two with Allura? No,
that's the thing. I remember when he was with the generals, like, last season, there were definitely more than two. Three, maybe four? I don't know why four, but there's probably only three. Well, yeah, and then... But with Allura, I thought there was only one, but I guess there were two. So I don't know where this third one comes from.
Well, for the longest time, there was only four of them because, remember, he killed off one of his generals.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. No, not allegedly. He did it on screen.
It was very, very,
very clear.
I don't know. Yeah, what are they built? The specs built for? Were they built for all the generals to be in? I guess so. But yeah, there's three comet ships. I mean, whatever.
Like, I think this the exact reason why this release schedule is a problem, because in a normal show we'd have weekly and we'd just keep the show in the back of our mind the whole time, but with this it's seven episodes and then you forget the show while it's gone. It just
I mean, it's a product of the Netflix release. I also just think the show just has done a horrible job tracking the outdoor ships. Like, I don't think it doesn't, like, matter, so whatever, but it's there's three.
The reality gate thing, I have no idea when did that show up.
This is Diabazal, correct? And that is Hagar's Onerva's gate that she made during
the gate was there, wasn't it? I thought we
tried to go through the gate a couple of season finales ago.
I thought that was also Allura had made that in, like, between an episode.
I think that's Onerva's that's been there forever. Yeah.
Okay. Got
it. And that's the whole reason. Like, he used one of the comet ships that was before the one he made with Allura to try to go through it, mm-hmm. and it looked like it didn't work, but it was very unclear whether it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, at least that's destroyed now.
Yeah, well, that's all it took. We could have done that a while ago. Done. Yeah, they got it. These Synclan ships is what Lothar at one point calls the comet ships, which I don't know where that name came from either. But
why are we using trig terms?
It's trigonometry.
I mean, there's three of them. I guess that's why.
Yep, it's triangles. This is the triangle Voltron. That's
Haley, don't make that
noise. Implying that this is real. Yeah, maybe that's what it's inspired by.
I don't know.
What do we think of it forming three ships forming into Voltron? Is like it. I guess it's like, oh, that's why they, like, kind of have like a U thing. It's like the legs and the arms, and I thought that kind of worked the way they all fit together. I thought that was cool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was shorter than the Voltron transformation, so I'm happy about that.
More efficient.
Yeah, more efficient. Yeah, exactly. Lothar has cut down on the transformation sequence timeline. He has made a more efficient. sequence.
And all of one body and mind.
I still think Lothar is much better than Allura's dad at making ships.
For sure. For for sure.
I mean, we'll see. The test is to come next episode. Who will win?
I mean, he's going to lose, but he's better making ships.
What if he won? That would be great.
That would be amazing if all the lions died.
Well, I thought like going into this episode before he went crazy that he probably was going to win at the end because the structure of this is like the end of the second act, you know, of like a three act system. And normally the villains win, like in Empire Strikes Back.
At Book 2 of Avatar. Exactly. If you're looking at the Voltron in 26 episode chunks, as production does, but not Netflix, we're coming up. Next episode is episode 52, and that's the end of season 2 of 3. We're going to be finished with the show at the end of season 3, much like Avatar. At the end of Avatar Book 2, they lose. It's the darkest moment.
The way the story ships out, Lotar should win. The structure of the story calls for him to win, but him just completely losing his mind does make things up in the air now, so I'm not sure anymore.
I
think either way.
What I'm expecting next episode is that Lotor loses, but Hagar wins. Because we still don't know... Or, sorry, Unnerva now. I guess that's her name.
I had a similar thought, but it was a different character. I was thinking more of Sendek.
Oh,
each
God.
Takes advantage of this.
Sendek
can't be the big bad. If Sendek is the big bad, I don't know what I'm going to do.
No, he's not. He's not even important. But I agree. Lotor being unhinged makes you think he's going to be defeated. On the other hand, Azula, I guess she doesn't get unhinged until the end of book 3.
Yeah, that wasn't until later. So,
I guess definitely, you know, expecting Lotor not to survive, although I really, really would like him to, because I think that's not good if you kill off your best character. I do think he probably is the show's best character still. Hagar's also up there. Yeah. Keith has been, it's been this episode, these two episodes enhanced Keith a lot this season, and he had some great characterization earlier, despite him disappearing for.
Well, if Lotor dies, though, it would make, like, Hagar even more interesting in terms of being, like, this, like, main villain for, like, the last, like, third of the series, in terms of she has had her husband and her son killed, her family just taken away. So it'd be interesting, though she doesn't seem to have much emotional attachment to them. So, but that would have been an interesting take.
Yeah, I'm most interested in Unnerva/Hagar.
It would be more helpful too if our heroes killed Zarkon instead of Lotor. So it's not like we took both of them from her. So.
Yeah, who she met at, yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of potential with Hagar in season 3. Anyway, let's talk Lotor and Hagar, because we have this great scene in episode 5 where Unnerva brings Lotor in, and she calls her son, and she's proud of the work, him continuing her quintessence work, but Lotor is not having it despite her looking like Unnerva. He calls her an abomination, and so that was mean.
Well, I love this.
Well, in the original series, Hagar's son did say very mean things to her, so it does go true with that.
Why'd you love it, Haley?
Because I love Unnerva so much, and I'm so happy that she's actually, like, here, and she's ready to take on the world, and that she's, like, going full evil mode. It's great. And it seems like she probably has, I don't know, I would assume since she's back to being kind of Unnerva, she probably has even more power maybe than when she was with Hagar. I don't know why, but maybe. Mm-hmm. And I like that finally Lotor actually knows what we all knew already, that she's his mom, which was really nice. And it just made me really excited, because I think with Lotor kind of losing it at the end of this, maybe through some weird series of events, maybe it will bring them together and they'll maybe work together, because I think that would be really cool. I don't know how that would happen, but he's kind of losing it, so maybe.
Yeah, I think Lotor knew Hagar was his mom already, I think, right?
It seemed like a dramatic moment.
It was dramatic, at least to the generals. They did not know that, but
maybe he did know. Actually,
I think he might have known.
It was great. Generals were there, so all good.
Yeah, they had a good reaction. This episode implies that Hagar opened up the Orianne abilities earlier this season. That's what we saw when she turned into Unnerva, and the beginning of this episode says that she opened the wormhole. She was able to do that because she had the Orianne ability activation. So I guess that's what she was doing episode 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she's Unnerva now, despite turning back into Hagar last episode or last two episodes?
I'm not sure. I'm confused too. I'm not sure if that's just more metaphorically with the clone Shiro, or if that was really her. That confused me too.
Yeah, I
think that the implication is that she is able to be Onerva now, like if she chooses to.
She loves her dramatic reveals, though. Like, this is the second dramatic hood takedown turnaround reveal she's had.
Onerva's just the most dramatic person in the show.
I was so there for it. You know, it's great.
If she wants an army, though, now she can go to the alternative dimension, get the evil Atayans, bring them to this dimension, and that could be like her army to take over the world.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I think that's in play.
She's like the mother of the god.
I forgot there was an evil Altaian Empire. I completely forgot.
Yeah, I think it's definitely in play. But she also sounds like Onerva and not like not like Hagar. She's not Kree Summer. Yeah, when
they
she's talking here.
She lost her vocal synthesizer.
Well, I think that's a cue to us that she is actually Onerva now. She sounds like what she sounded like in the flashback episode. So I'm very hype about this. I'm on Team Onerva. If Team Lotor is not an option anymore, I'm defecting immediately to Team Onerva.
Same.
Also was there all along, to be honest, like Hagar. Yeah, always been the main best character, or the most interesting to a lot of us, mm-hmm. Hagar. And that scene with Lotar, I think, was great. But then Aksa and the generals betray Hagar, and Aksa shoots at Onerva. And,
I'm not sure that was her. Was he just teleport? I thought, was that just like a fake one, Onerva?
It was a force projection, like Luke.
Yeah.
Okay, it could have been that, or it could have been her, and she just teleported away.
That's how I saw it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just a projection.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really matters either way. But she's not there. She's somewhere else, alive, as Aksa points out. So I think the implication here is that Aksa was in cahoots with Lotor the entire time, and the intent was to. Was to depict Lotor more sympathetically to Allura and team by showing that he's not associated with the generals anymore, even though Aksa knew that they're going to double cross, and he was with him the whole time, not with Hagar.
I also think perhaps though she kind of saw though the other two were kind of turning like against him, like they were very mad that that he killed their comrade, and I guess she had to like side against him just to cool them off at the time. To avoid a mutiny.
There could be more. I don't know. Yeah. Possible. But yeah, the episodes definitely depict the other two just kind of following whatever Aksa says. Yeah, and she was always loyal to Lotor, although it turns against him at the end. So in the course of these two episodes, we have them depicting away from Hagar back to Lotor, and then away from Lotor back to no one.
The way I see them, though, the way I see Aksa and I say Lotor is like a junkie, quintessence junkie. She's sort of kind of like an abusive relationship with Lotar, like someone who's just poisoned by him and just.
Yeah, I think she needs to separate from Lotar.
And I'm hoping her and Allura can maybe bond a bit, and just maybe Allura can knock some sense into her.
Yeah, so they're floating at the end of episode 6. Where are they going? Where are the generals at?
Okay. Can I tell you my prediction for next episode?
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking if it's going to happen, it's going to happen next episode, and they're going to be rescued by Narti.
She's alive.
If she's alive, she's coming back next episode.
Wasn't she shot in the head, though?
Yeah, she was. It's not happening.
She's definitely dead.
Well, I'm just saying, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen next episode. If she doesn't show up next episode, then I think we can confirm that she's dead.
No, I'm confirming already. Don't worry. it's already confirmed.
She's gone.
We did think Narti might be back for a while. There's like the cat, and it's like, what's
where's
going
the
on?
Cat? Like,
yeah, I don't know where that, I don't remember where the cat is.
I thought the cat was killed, too.
No, it was hanging out with Hagar. It was friends with her.
I thought Hagar.
Well, it was her cat, originally.
What I'm hoping, though, is they are sort of taken in custody by Team Voltron, and we get to question them, maybe get some info on Lotar from them, and maybe get some little bonding there, like with Aksa and Atea. And one thing they have similar in common is that they both lost a comrade. They lost Narti, while our heroes, they just lost Shiro. So even though Narki is like the opposite of Shiro, Shiro's like the team leader and stuff, and she was, you know, the silent one.
Yeah, I think there's the most narrative potential for the generals to be in either imprisoned or allies with Team Voltron. So I think that could be good for next season. Let's talk Lotor in episode 6 in relation to Allura. We had a scene with Allura kind of beating herself up for trusting Lotor, and then Lance is consoling her, and they hug. That happens. Are all our fears being realized with them immediately going to Allurance after doing Allura and Lotor? Is that what's going to happen next episode?
I don't know, but it's still better than Allura and Lotor, so...
Well, given that he's a mass murderer, yeah. Andy, Allurance in the finale, yes or no?
I think it will happen, and I don't know. I didn't want it to happen, Dylan. It's bad. I don't like it.
Yeah, not looking forward to whatever romance options presents herself.
It's the same thing they purposely avoided at the end of Korra season 4 with Korrasami. They didn't kill Mako because they're like, hey, we don't want to make it look like there's on a backswing or whatever, like they're sad and they're going to get together. This is exactly that. This is Allura's in grief and Lance is moving on her, and I don't want that, Dylan. It's really bad.
I have some confidence they're not going to do this. Haley, what do you think?
I think that he's just going to continue to be supportive to her next episode. Honestly, next episode, I feel like it's probably going to be mostly fighting, maybe a flashback or two. But like maybe he'll say some kind words at the end or whatever. But I think that's a next season thing. I don't think the end of that is coming anytime soon.
I guess it would be surprising if we had major shipping stuff. Still hoping for the Clance. I don't know what major Lance character stuff we've gotten so far.
But it just feels so right, though, Dylan. They understand each other better than any other the Paladin. Like,
it just makes sense. Yeah, he's gone lost Shiro. You know, yeah. this would be the grief thing to do. This one, not the other one.
Yeah, no, it's just like, okay, because it's gay. Yeah,
well, exactly. Now that Shiro's gone, there's no real obstacle right now.
To what?
To Clance.
That's the only obstacle? I feel like
there's a lot of obstacles.
Well, I'm talking about from Keith's perspective, from his side of it.
Yeah, Keith's too distracted by his feelings for Shiro to accept his feelings for Lance. I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Later in the episode, Lotor's talking to Allura. He says his feelings were real.
Oh, God.
I believe him, you know?
Again, like I said,
he's good, Haley.
He's bad. I know he's bad, but I believe him that he cared for her, but in his own sick, twisted way. They were real.
Like I said, he's such a master manipulator that he's manipulating himself.
He played himself. Yeah, I believe him too. I think the feelings were real to whatever extent that he is capable of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that Allura didn't have a moment where she's like, oh, maybe the love. No, she was like, I'm gonna murder you right now. Like, she was great and got angry, and it was awesome.
I wasn't on the podcast for the episode 4, but I love when she like judo chopped him. I'm like, that was like,
yes, that was our favorite. And yeah, again, here she shoots at him immediately, and it was great. And she says he's like Zarkon. He gets really mad. Zethrud says, I stopped trying to figure out Lotor's master plan long ago. Too complicated.
Yeah, everyone is Zethrud. We are all Zethrud.
And I love one line she had during the episode 5 when she just complimented Keith on making it. I'm like, that's kind of a cool line. I love shonen battle series that sometimes when like you compliment an enemy for having skills. So.
Yeah, she's just very nice too. So she should be good. She would be. She's the Ty Lee and Lance is the Sokka. So that's a thing.
I don't like though, Dylan. You kind of grazed over that Allura shot first. I don't like that happened because the whole point was that they were trying to stall for Keith to get there. It's like if Lotor is willing to talk, just talk. You can be mad at it, but don't incite violence if you don't have to.
I think that's more of a compliment to Lotor getting able to antagonize her to a shoot first.
But I don't think he wanted to do that.
He's unintentional now. Yeah. Whatever. It was understandable.
But I'm just like, come on, Allura.
I was hoping for more from Lotor and like what his current mindset is in next episode, because that's such a nuanced character. And having him go off the deep end like this, I think, is a little fast. So we'd like some more there.
Well, I think perhaps maybe they won't kill him. Maybe he'll just have to be so weakened that he'll actually, Minerva will come and help him, and then he will just willingly follow her and just be like, okay, I'm tired. Okay, Mom. Let's work together.
That'd be better. I don't think that's happening. But anything but killing Lotor, like, is too good.
Are you still for Lotor, Dylan? Are you like still like? Is he still your emperor? Is this what this is?
I think I've defected to Minerva at this point, but I still want him on the show.
Yeah, that? For sure.
That's back to the Zethra line. I think that's a case of I say this a million times: a show making fun of its own writing, and it could have just written it better.
So,
I'm not going to beat it up too much, but yeah.
In their defense, in this one, it was like a season long arc, so it was harder to adjust everything. Like, it wasn't like one name they were making fun of, but still, it was. I get that, Dylan. It wasn't the whole like, oh, your name's Paul, haha.
Yeah, well, no, Lotor's plan's too complicated. Well, I'll just make it not complicated. They didn't do that. Okay.
Well, I mean, like, but Dylan, like. We don't know his whole plan yet. We don't know what his plan is yet. I think that's unfair because we as viewers don't know.
Maybe I'm pessimistic, but I don't think we're going to learn his full plan beyond what we know now in the finale.
Is it possible the crazy Lotor is just another act?
I don't think so.
I'm just done. Like, I'm
if, not... if it, yeah, if that's an act all if, along, if I will, is, I'll defect back to Lotor.
If so, he is, though, if he is, I gotta say, he tops Azula as best actor.
Yeah.
No, Dylan, obviously he's trying to get them to fight him because he needs the energy of two Voltron-sized robots clashing.
Yes, let's do it. I'm in. It's Lotor's master plan all along. Lotor says, I'm ready to wipe the universe clean of all my enemies, Voltron, Hagar, and the rest of the Galra. And that's what gets Aksha to turn back on him.
Why does he hate all of the Galra?
Well, I mean, Zarkon did kind of trap him on a planet, on like an ice planet for 10,000 years.
Yeah, but like not all the Galra. Like, he likes people sometimes.
I think he doesn't like the Galrans relying on violence all the time because he really does.
Look at what he does.
I'm not saying he's not a hypocrite. I'm just saying he believes.
He's not very logical.
No. Even though he's a logical villain.
That line is so blatant that it does make you wonder, is it an act? Like,
Dylan, I should have done this.
Okay, that's not what I'm expecting from next episode. So. If it doesn't happen, I'll be disappointed.
No, they're going to punch each other like the entire multiverse will unfold.
Yeah. Oh, and that's how we unlock the different dimensions, because that's definitely something I think is going to come into play.
And then we'll get to the quantum field, too, or that quintessence field again.
Sven. Where's Sven? Or not Sven. Who's the guy I like?
God, Dylan, Slav.
Sven is Shiro, but yeah, Slav. Slav needs to come back. Okay. Last thing is Keith is talking to Shiro, and it's like see through the lion's eyes, and then he like unlocks the wings, which I think have been unlocked before, right?
Yeah. Not unlocked. We saw them in the flashback with Zarkon piloting the black lion.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So in the current, we get the wings, and he super speeds back to them with the wings. Yeah. That was also a little confusing, referencing something from a long time ago.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It's a cool design, and he got there faster than speed of light. I don't know how you go that fast.
I was expecting Dylan, to.
Are you really going to complain about them traveling faster than the speed of light in a sci-fi show?
It's faster than like a wormhole. Like, this is the equivalent of a wormhole is getting wings on your ship. Like, that doesn't seem right.
Maybe I do question the logic. Space and time with the wings, or something.
It just added
flair.
They said the phrase "space time drop off" like three episodes, Dylan. I don't think science is a basis for anything that happens here.
Yeah, but Pidge was coding, so science. Pidge was like, I activated the virus that I put in case of Shiro's arm a long time ago. Yeah, that's what happened. So
okay,
yeah. By the way, we're giving them flack. For last podcast, for none of these are smart. None of these people are smart enough to like see things coming. Pidge saw Shiro, like she didn't even see Shiro's betrayal coming, but she just had a plan in just in case, and that saved them all.
I read that more as Pidge being suspicious of the Galran arm, less of being suspicious of Shiro himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, either that, or
she's just planning for all contingencies. Yeah, so
which is also great.
Pidge is the smart one. There you go.
Well, let's not forget, we had Lotor on the ship, so Reasons.
Yeah, I wonder if she had. Yeah, where's the LOTOR countermeasures? Why didn't anyone see Dark Voltron coming? Like we saw it coming. It was very thematically obvious. Why didn't they read the themes of the show and see Dark Voltron coming?
Genre savvy villain.
Yeah, no one's genre savvy here. I agree. You'd think one of them. Who would be genre savvy of a character?
Blair.
Hunk, yeah.
Hunk. Yeah.
that would be funny. It's like, oh, that was in my fanfic.
That would be great if that was his like jokes instead of food, like just him being genre savvy. Like, I read all the sci-fi in school. What are we doing, guys?
Yeah. He's like, oh, it came true. I had a dream about Dark Voltron. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's it. Anything we didn't talk about or final thoughts, Andy?
I really like the stakes we're getting here. I'm really excited for the finale, and I don't think I've been really excited for the finale of Ultron for a while, which makes sense because this is actually the first time we've had a real finale in a season in like 26 episodes, and I'm just really excited to see how this goes. I'm worried about a lot of things, but none of them are characters. Like, I'm worried about how the lions will fare. I'm worried about how the ship, the castle of lions will fare, but I'm not really worried about anyone dying besides LOTOR, which I guess isn't good. Like, I'm worried that there aren't really stakes here beyond the ships being destroyed, but we'll see what happens. I'm still excited. I'm excited to see what kind of action we'll get. I'm really, if they can put the action of episode five into space with the two Voltron robots, like, that'd be incredible. Like, I would be completely on board for that, but I'm not sure if they can do it with the CGI robots as well as with Keith and Shiro.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how we execute on this fight.
Yeah.
Steve, final thoughts.
All right. Well, like I said, it's kind of interesting how you have the mother-son differed relationship with LOTOR and Keith and their moms. I'm thinking if Keith's mom's going to die, it could be at LOTOR's hands in the next episode. Yes, saying. I kind of wonder, though, what is going to happen with LOTOR's generals, because I think, unless this is the ultimate play, they got really no place to go. They burned too many bridges. They have to, like, come with us, like, come with Team Voltron. Or the only other option is to just accept Sendek's rule and work for him. Even though
that's what
terrible.
I was going to say. So what do they defect to Sendek? Yeah.
Sendek
is Hagar, though.
Yeah, he's going to treat them like such bottom feeders, like, because they're half-breeds and that they worked for his nemesis, LOTOR. So it's not very. They don't have very good options, so. But yeah, and just because he might be a puppet of Minerva or / Hagar, that's not going to help, because let's not forget they betrayed her, so she has an axe to grind with them. So
yeah, I mean they jet off to somewhere at the end of the episode, and the only thing in space where they are is the Castle of Lions. So I think that
and
that's
maybe
where
they'll
headed.
Bump into what's his name of Pidge's brother? Forget his name already.
Matt.
Yeah. And
Matt's on Earth, I think.
No, I think just the father.
I don't remember, honestly. Matt has not been relevant this season. I think they're going to Voltron, but we'll see that. Yeah, they're an interesting factor in going into the next season. Haley, final thoughts.
I'm super happy with the season and these episodes. They were really, really good. And I'm happy where we're at with the characters as well, because I'm starting to feel like actual emotions around their fights, which is super exciting. I think my big prediction I think at the end of the next episode, I don't think anyone's going to die. I don't think LOTOR is going to die. I think he's such a good villain. He's got to like stay on, and has all these grand plans. And we only just got Dark Voltron, so that can't be gone as well. But I feel like the Castle of Lions is going to be either destroyed or like not at all working, because I think that would actually cause some interesting stakes to form, and they'd have to problem solve around that. But we'll see. I just thought though,
if LOTOR and Minerva finally just get together and team up, it would be like Zuko and Azula in the book too, in terms of it's so unlikely at the time that it just happens. So that could be equivalent there.
I mean, that's what Minerva was trying for. She watched Avatar. She had the
she
right
knows.
Idea. But,
that's an outside chance. That's the only thing that might save LOTOR from dying, is that he's just finally just going to give in to mommy.
I think they're going to be not in a great position, our heroes, at the end of this. I don't think anyone's going to be dead, but like something has to happen that spurs on the next quote-unquote season or whatever we're at.
That'd be great. But now that we now that Andy has brought this up, I'm expecting this to all be Lotor's plan all along. So this is what I'm hoping for from
Dylan. It's because I'm genre savvy and no one in the show is. I know how this works.
Yep, it's Lotor. Yeah, well, it's Lotor. He's genre savvy.
Maybe
anyone is.
He doesn't know what Dylan. Here's the thing. He doesn't know what's going to happen when they clash, but he's genre savvy enough to know it'll be something that helps him.
Yeah, exactly. It's he wants to unlock big robot fighting. Yeah.
He's like, we're in season 2 of 3. Like, this is my moment.
That's what you want to do. Yeah,
I don't know how you break it up. You want to say it's season 4 of 6 or season 2 or 3. It's either way, it's the past the 2/3 point. So.
Yeah, so enemies so have been something.
So confusing with Netflix.
I mean, whatever the breakdown, this is the 2/3 episodes. Yeah. Okay, so the great episodes. Let us know what you thought of them. Black Paladins and all good things in the comments at overlyanimated.com or on YouTube comments as well. Make sure you subscribe YouTube or iTunes to not miss our finale Voltron podcast and any future Voltron coverage. Talk with us in our Discord, overlyanimated.com/Discord. Support us via Patreon, patreon.com/overlyanimated. Thank you very much to all of our current patrons, especially our patron of the podcast, Lily, a.k.a. Panda Lily. And thanks as always to our patron executive producers, John Ryan, Steve, Alex, Andy, and Hugh. Here's more of Hey Shiro by The Shakeups. Check out their new album, Legendary Defenders, and theshakeups.net for more. I think that's it. So thanks for listening, guys. We will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.